What's going on, guys? It's your boy Dave from Vibes Podcast. Woo, woo, woo.
Vibes.
We are back here for season 4 at Real Global Productions.
Shout out
we've got
Real
a
Global.
Bang of an episode ready. Our boy DJ D, certified Vibes controller, and to my right, Captain Librizzle.
How's it, everybody? It's Lev. Who are you over there to the left?
Oh, I'm David. Sorry, I forgot to introduce myself. Oh, no, I said my name. I'm David.
David, it's a massive one today. I'll be very honest.
I'm pumped.
An episode that I'm VV excited for. I feel like it's always strange when we have guests because it's like they don't know how long we've been looking at them in like the most like respectful, not creepy way ever. But today we have the vocalist for one of the biggest heavy metal bands, metalcore bands in South Africa at the moment. He has seen shows such as Ramfest, Opikopi, Woodstock, and even Wacken Open Air Festival in Germany after winning the Battle of the Bands to go all the way over that side and represent SA. Ladies and gentlemen, representing Hate City in the building today, we got Regan.
Oh, boys, what an intro, what an intro. I think we can count it there. It doesn't get bigger than that, right?
We've done the best we can.
Amazing, man. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah, man. Thank you for pulling through. Yeah. I feel like listening to your guys' music, it's very like when this is mainly for the viewers, but like when you hear like heavy metal band, they mainly think like fucking hardcore screaming fuckery, and it is.
Yeah.
But there's also like a lot of like melodic elements to it as well, and a lot of like sick fucking breakdowns and shit. Like it's very full, the like your music.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Like I never know how to put it in words either. It's kind of like I feel it's same as all music, it's always a bit of an experience. Like it's not always face value. Like when you hear something recorded, it's not always that. And I don't believe we're a good band to look at face value. Like we're more of an experience because we're super energetic and we're a little bit crazy when it comes to the stage element. And I think that's really it. You just got to pitch up at a show and live that moment in that moment, because that's what's going to stick with you at the end of it.
That's beautiful, man. Shit.
So I'm going to talk in tangents. It's like,
no, no, you relax. Yeah. Then for like the writing process, because obviously like the stage element is one thing, but for writing process, how does it actually work? Are you by yourself there writing, or do you guys get involved there, you say?
So we like to think of ourselves as still like old school. We haven't really nailed this new digital age where it's like you can sit at home and jump on like a Zoom call or a Google Meets or whatever and be like, hey, dude, like, cool, let's write on this. We're super sit in a room, have a jam session, figure out what like gives you that little tingle, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, we're allowed to swear on this thing.
Yeah,
oh shit, that's sick. And then we'd sit there and be like, oh shit, that's sick, let's try build on that. And most of the time it's everything is instrumentally led, so it always comes from like a riff that someone's had in their head or something that they've just licked out on whatever program they're using. And then from there, it's most of the time it's myself and JMO that sit on like the lyrical side of things. But everyone's got a massive influence in it, because it's like you want to tell a story. It's like, are we telling it the right way? And then we put that across the board, kind of like a board meeting. And then it's like, does this sound cool? Is this us? And then it's like, yeah, no, okay, cool, we'll figure it out from there.
Throw it away, but we'll come back to it if we need to.
Yeah. But the point is always to really look at recording like 20 songs, or writing 20 songs, not recording, writing about 20 songs. And then you take like your top 10 or your top 12 that you think are really going to hit. And then you archive the rest and you revisit that at a later stage. Like sometimes you'll write something that was like 5 years old, but it might be more relevant now than what it was then.
Okay.
So you're always trying to make more art, if you can put it that way, to kind of filter things out and then go from there. Does that answer the question? Okay, cool.
Beautiful. Cool. In terms of like, obviously like your guys' process together, like obviously you joined the band in 2019, right?
You're just at the end of 2018, but yes, 2019.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just
at the end of 2018.
Yeah.
What did that look like going into it initially? Like trying to like gel with the band after they've already having gone for like so many years before that?
So mad, starstruck. Still kind of am starstruck half the time when you look at like who's sitting next to you, like, oh my goodness, am I like, are we doing this right now?
Yeah.
It was crazy, man. I had a little band before Gallows that, like, when we were kids, we were like 16, 17 years old, trying to come up in the scene. And we were just a bunch of these kids that were like the new metalcore kids.
Yeah.
And it was really tough because at that time, like all the major bands here were like thriving on that metalcore and hardcore feel. And so I got to see a lot of these dudes growing up and got to befriend them. Like, luckily I'm a bit of a socialite, so it's always like trying to plug in and like, how do we get on that bill? Or how do we stop opening shows? Like, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So when everything had started, I don't think I had done vocals for like 3 or 4 years before Gallows hosted these auditions. So it was like, cool, process, go through like 30 dudes, a couple females as well, interesting enough. And then I remember sitting in the studio and it was super weird because I was like, dude, these are like the dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta yell in a mic in front of these dudes and hopefully sound sick. Like, the freaking dudes, dude. So luckily I had already known Brian, who was the previous vocalist.
Yeah.
And his last show, they played with Fit for a King at Arcade Empire when Arcade Empire was still thriving. And he still pulled me up while Ray, who's the bassist of Gallows, and he looked at Ray and he's like, dude, have you met the new vocalist of your band? Because like there were already chats that he was gonna depart, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know what to do. And then that's how I met Ray. And then, yeah, I guess through the entire process, it was just like, cool, get to know everyone, yell things, make the cut. And then all of a sudden it was like 1 week, 2 weeks in, and the dudes looked at me and they're like, okay, cool. So you're kind of like leading this now. So we'll do whatever you say we have to do. And I was like, dude, I just got you. You guys have been doing this for like 12 years. Yeah. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. I just know like one thing, and that's cupping a mic or whatever. Yeah. Did that answer the question?
Yeah. Always.
Okay, cool, cool.
I feel like it's literally that thing of like that stereotypical, it's like the vocalist is the leader of the band. Like, yeah. Axl Rose was the sweeter, that was Guns N' Roses kind of thing. It's like, cool, you're the new leader. Tell us where to go.
Yeah, I guess it is interesting because I get that you're the forefront, but you always have like a band dad, a band mom, the kid in the band,
yeah,
the reckless one that you always got to look out for. But it was super interesting when that was just like kind of handed. And it was... Look, it was cool because it forced me to learn a lot very quickly. And I still learned a ton from them because they would still have like their hands on the reins. It wasn't just like completely. They were still tugging here and there. But yeah, it was surreal, if I can put it that way. It's just like when you grow up watching people, you don't know them from a bar of soap apart from like their music in this instance. And then it's like, we're homies now? Like, I house sit your house, bro. Like, I'm friends with your dogs. Like, you got a kid and I'm an uncle? With these
dudes?
Are
we best friends? Like,
no,
that's
ways,
actually...
bro. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, still to this day, it has its moments where it's, like, super, super surreal. Mm. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
What kind of chance is this, man? So, like, super grateful nonetheless.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like, surrealness, what's your earliest memory of heavy metal? And then what's your earliest memory of when you realized you wanted to do heavy metal?
Damn.
Probably same moment, I feel.
I don't even know, man. I think like I kind of grew up to like rap music. And okay, this is like throwing it back. And my dad used to be like a gym junkie. Like, dude was a big man. And I remember he used to take me. Are you talking about like a live experience or just introduction?
Well, just introduction, yeah.
Okay, this is introduction. And because I couldn't do anything in the gym, I was like freaking yay high. My dad would always give me his cassette player. Yes, cassettes did exist. Like, it's not just like a novelty item or like a souvenir from back in the day. And he would give me this cassette player with like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and like just old school stuff. And that started like sparking my interest. And I was like, shit, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then probably that scene in XXX where Rammstein was playing. Also like a big contributor there. And then I was like, I think I dig this stuff. This
2000
cool.
Cuban Diesel was unmatched. Yeah. That man knew exactly what to
cool.
do in the world.
Definitely. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first introduction I got into metal. And then I think first experience was probably pitching up at a club underage. I don't think I should say what the name was, but it was like there in Hatfield Square. That should say enough. And like getting into the door, because I had like long hair, I used to look like a girl, so like that could get you by, because people are like, you can't have hair like this in like a normal school.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in a normal school at the time. And I don't even remember who I watched. It was probably like Folk of Police Guard or something. But that was where like watching live shows started for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And with your live shows, would you say that you draw any inspiration from like other people that you see live or like?
Definitely, man. Like, I think jumping into the shoes of being the singer for Gallows, it was like, Brian was a machine.
Yeah.
A machine. And I was like, okay, I can't just kind of sound okay screaming shit at people. You got to have like a persona and like an energy because you got to sell whatever you're doing at the same time. Mm. So he definitely inspired it. And then I think just a lot of like big time singers, like classic Ollie Sykes and Mitch Lucker and like dudes from major bands, like Bring Me the Rise and Suicide Silence and stuff. Watching those dudes kind of just curate, if that's even the right word, but like just make a crowd do what they want to do. You're like,
yeah,
that's sick, dude.
Yeah.
That's so I would say those dudes for sure.
I think that's what fucking terrified me going to see you guys live. Is like literally, it's like, guys, we're on a fucking wall of death right now. And it's like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. It's with haste as well. It's not like, yeah. Oh, we'll get to it. It's like, okay, like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy, I don't know. I feel like in being part of like a band, you have to almost have so many different facets locked down. So you have to be a great singer. You also have to be like a solid O to some extent, but you also have to have that like crowd control aspect where it's like everyone, I don't know, does what I want. You know what I mean?
Everyone's yeah, in a weird me. Way.
Like
yeah.
your vibe control, essentially.
Like, yeah, that's right. Like I think if you're going to stand there like stagnant and not really move, there isn't much energy to that. And like your music's got to be insanely cool. But even with that, it feels like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I watch DJs sometimes and like I like watching them flick a wrist or get like hyped up behind behind the desk and you're just like, okay, that's cool. Like I'm in now. Like you bought me, bro. Like maybe the music even sucks, but that sold me.
Yeah.
I'm still here for the vibe.
Yeah, there's nothing worse. Like you can see it's like watch DJs often this day and then they kind of remember it's like I should be a stage presence. So for like 5 minutes I'll be like, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm back to this now.
Yeah. Panic, worry.
Yeah.
Then starting from obviously being in the band 2018 and then pushing into Battle the Bands, getting ready for Vulcan, what was that like?
Mad.
Insane, I imagine.
Mad, because it was like the band entered the battle at like a very last minute. This was before they even had to get a new singer because Brian was departing. And they were trying to drill all the auditions as quick as they could because it's like we need to prepare so that we can be ready for battle, which I think was in like March time. And so I think I only had maybe like 5 months in the band before that happened, so it was like having to learn a ton of stuff.
Like
knowing all those songs was super hard. And I definitely messed up a few times, but it was blowing my mind as to what kind of steam train we had. Like I think it kind of looking at what was being posted on socials and stuff, it seemed like people were excited because it was like something you already know, but now it's got something different to it. So it was like, it's almost like dropping a new album. It's like, okay, cool. Something new. Just a little more interest. So that was also driving us because you're like, oh shit, there's huge expectations. Yeah. And then it's like, I felt like a lot of that was on my shoulders because dude, these dudes know what they're doing. It's 12 years, bro. Like, got to figure this out quick. But yeah, then the process of going through the battle was interesting. Like the battles are just interesting. Like it's the metal battle's been going for quite a while. Gallows has lost to the battle before, like in previous years. We've had cool bands that have gone over. And yeah, overall, I just think battles are interesting. They don't always work in your favor. It's you just have to make sure you're crowd pleasing. So you don't have to be the heaviest band and you can still have people interested, or you can be the heaviest band and just have like all the OG metal fans that love it and vote for you. But there's still like, we all still have a different taste in music. And if you're interested in something in one moment, you're like, that's what latched onto me. That's what I'm going to remember. Mm. And that's what we continuously see in these battles is like, we were this metalcore band and people weren't so stoked about that. And there's always controversy after every freaking battle. Like you're going to see it again this year. Yeah. You're going to 100% you're going to see it again this year. And they always just like, oh no, I don't think that band like deserved to go. And you're like, dude, like, were you even at the show? Like, did you watch what the rest of the dudes watched? Like, and yeah, it's yeah, the whole battle thing was interesting. It was the getting to the Vulcan thing that blew our minds, bro. Like when that announcement was made, like we all sat there in a huddle. Brian came to the show as well. His dad, Dion, who's like known as like one of the, what do you want to call him? Like the like the godfather we of like metal in SA, because he's been going to shows since like Brian was in a band. Oh, so it's years and years and years. And we all sat there in like this huddle, and like you're waiting for the announcement, and like we felt that we put on one of the best performances that we could. Yeah. So we were stoked. And as soon as they just like, and the winners of fucking 2019, whatever, are, and then as soon as they said fat, we were like, shit. Dude, we were just huddled up. We were crying. We were like, oh my gosh, like we're going over. Like it was incredible, bro. Oh, it was incredible. Beautiful. And like, it wasn't even the tip of the iceberg for what we were expecting when we got over there.
Oh,
that was a different story. Yeah.
Before talking about when you guys got over there, what was it like, the We Are Hate City tour? What did that like build up going from like place to place and like fucking performing and like knowing you're going over there and fucking.
So are you talking about like the pre build up before we went over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, dude. Nuts. Like, nuts, because I think that year was also the year that Gallows had played like the most shows in the history of the band.
Mm.
So we were taking on as much as we could, but it was more around the fact that it was like the dudes had to coach me into like what we're about to go and see and do. So it was like, cool, get him as comfortable as he can be. And it really, really helped. And we had a ton of fun doing it. Like, I don't even know how, we must have played, I don't know, like 30 or 40 shows. I don't even know. But it was super, super cool getting to stand alongside even other dudes that I'd watched growing up,
mm-hmm.
and like seeing their camaraderie with your boys. And now like, you're like one of the boys, and you're kind of like, it's no freaking ways, dude. Like, this dude didn't just come up to me and be like, yo, what's up, Regan? I was like, bro, I've never met you. I've only seen you from afar. This is so freaking cool right now. So that year definitely helped me understand a little bit more as to like what was happening in the scene and within the bands, and seeing that brotherhood that does exist, and becoming part of that was, for me, that was like top tier, man. That definitely changed a lot of things for me moving forward.
100%. I feel like the metal scene seems like it's almost like we've been keep jumping into scenes where everyone's just the best.
People. So wholesome, man.
Yeah, that's cool to hear. Yeah. That is cool to hear.
Even like Lives and I, the funniest part was because it was our first show we went to go watch. I think it was November.
Yeah, I think so.
Where Sunken States and you guys were there.
Never go wrong with Sunken State.
And then like we went and we were watching everyone, and then like you're literally like screaming your heart out, and then right, thank you so much for the support, guys. I really fucking appreciate it. Like the most like genuine, like, thanks guys, I really appreciate you all being here.
We're gonna be sticking around, come get a beer with us.
Dude, it's like it's totally part of it. Like without any of those dudes out there, you're playing for yourself. Yeah. Like you're just in band practice. Yeah. And I know it's such a cliche because people always, it's all about the bands, man. Kind of really is.
Really is.
Because it's like you sell them this idea. Okay, sell sounds like a very foul word to use, but like you sell them this cool idea of like what you are, what you do. And at the end of the day, it becomes like really a reflection of like who you are as a group.
Mm.
And if people latch onto that, then it's like, okay, cool. Then it comes down to like, you're not just befriending these people or giving them something to release the same way as you do to everything else you're listening to.
Yeah.
It's like a matter of not only this, but we've got like this array of other things. Like we want to provide you with cool garments and stuff, and like if people believe in you enough, they buy that, and that's truly where like you get to make your money and like do cooler things for the crowds that are watching you.
100%.
Like, that's where money's never made it into any of our pockets, and this literally, what are we, and we're in Feb this month, we're 17 years old as a band. No one's ever made money from this band, bro. Everything's always gone back into the band.
Heck.
Like that's how the system works. That's, it's beautiful. Always just try and give back as much as you can.
Yeah.
Make it like sufficient so that you can always keep doing cooler shit.
Yeah. Sorry, I almost made that sound like a charity. That's not what it is. We don't have that much.
Things are tight, man.
But pretty much.
Even for me, it's like, I think one of the big things that like you don't realize is like the first impressions or second impressions that you make after the show is where people are like, oh damn, like those guys are so nice. And like that like opinion will go across everyone there, because they tell their friends about it, and it's like, oh, those guys were so sick. That's new fans as well, because the amount of times you've heard someone with a bad opinion and it's like completely ruins the dream.
Sour taste in your mouth. It's like kind of goes back to that saying of like, sometimes you don't want to meet your idols.
Fully.
And like, I think we've all been there where you've met someone that you thought was so much cooler than they were, and you're just like,
kind of
you put it off, and then you're like, be it whatever they did in their life, did you ever revisit what they did in their life? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know? So also, if people are making time to watch you, make some time to talk to them, like, without a doubt, dude.
That's a ball.
Until Francois was like, hey guys, everyone, fuck in my house. It's 2 o'clock, stop drinking. And finally, getting there to Varken, what a fucking man. God damn, it looked like an absolute dream.
It was
Did
nuts.
You drink water at all, or was it just beer?
It looked like beer was your water.
There were waters on stage, so we drank some waters on stage. But funny enough, like, a lot of people thought that we went to go and party, which, I mean, in essence, you do. But we had, like, a whole different mindset to the approach. Like, as we, as the whole journey was being planned, like, just before we even flew over, we spoke to a couple of friends that were organizers here that host, like, Cranked Up and another event that was called Brochella, and friends from, like, Ramfest and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were trying to plug into artists that they've brought that are over there at the same time. We were like, can we make arrangements to, like, maybe jump on a tour with them of some sorts?
Oh,
like,
shit,
just to extend or make penetrate the market a little bit better being outsiders, like, instead of just playing this battle at a massive festival. So without a doubt, dude, Mecca. That place is Mecca. 100,000 people. Like, I've never seen that amount of people in my life. And you're just like, and all these people are like me?
I was going to say, you're all like the same genre. As like, what?
But you think that, but it's not. Like, these dudes are like true metal. And when I say true metal, like, I always think about, like, dudes with, like, the denim or leather jackets that are, like, blasted with different patches of different bands and stuff. Like, dudes that have just, like, lived this culture for years and years. Like, sure, they're true OGs, but you also get the guys that are, like, so, I don't want, fickle's also a bad word, but they're, like, stuck to a genre and not very open. But anyway, that sounds negative. Let's not be negative. This place was nuts, dude. So as the preparations went through, we were like, cool, let's make, like, pamphlets. Like, we knew what stage we were playing. We knew what time we were playing. Like, so we went out, and you have, like, a guide that shows you around this festival, and you've got, like, these massive sites, bro. Like, there's a site that's, like, just the artist hospitality section that was, like, between a couple stages. And that's where you would meet, like, all the major promoters from, like, other countries that are there to judge, because there's about 30 to 31 bands that compete at the battle stage at Varken. So it's like, you don't earn a slot to play on the lineup of Varken. Yeah. Like, that comes with time, but you earn a slot to go, like, battle against other countries and meet those dudes and also prove yourself to a completely new audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was super surreal. I wish I could pop up some of the videos of, like, we had, like, homies reacting, like, typical, like, turn to the camera kind of reaction where it's like, oh my God, what is this kind of thing? Oh. Because it was just a sea, a freaking sea of people. I feel like I'm going on a tangent here.
You're on a podcast, you can literally do it.
But yeah, man, getting to meet some of the bands from the other countries was crazy. Seeing how well run this entire organization was crazy. I've never seen something so fluid,
like,
in my
macro
life.
The macro.
So you watch the video. Yes,
we watched the whole thing.
Dude, we spent some time making that docu. Like,
yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, we were hoping that people would, like, just take a look and get an idea. But yeah, that macro was nuts, dude. You buy freaking Kinder Joys and, like, Nutella, and you can buy a braai chair. I don't even know what a braai chair is. You can buy a braai.
Braai and a chair.
Like, there was so much stuff there. But yeah, it was... Dude, it was huge. I think in the 4 or 5 days that we were there, I don't think we saw the entire festival. Oh, like, it was that big, dude. There's like 11 or 12 stages. But jumbo, man. Like, one of their small stages is like Ramfest. And you're like, no ways, dude.
That's insane.
How is that possible?
Is it all just varying levels of artists at different stages? Or is it like different genres of metal?
So they did, like, theme it, but I would say they still kept, like, the clash of different genres. Like, on one stage, you could see, like, a complete folk band that, like, wasn't really metal, but just had enough distortion to be metal.
Yeah.
There's another band from, oh, for the life of me, I think it was Overthrust. It's an African band. They're, like, pretty well known. It's like, these four black dudes that just, dude, rip leather. Like, it is the coolest shit. Like, they look awesome. Their singer's name is Vulture. They call him Vulture.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that they've performed at Varken, like, twice, but as invite. Like, to get invited there, which is, like, a whole different
battles.
Thing. Yeah. So the stages were pretty diverse. Like, you had, like, old school heavy death metal. You had Cradle of Filth, which, like...
Jesus Christ.
I'll be honest, like, I grew up to them, but when I watched them, I was like, this is not a good band. Like, instrumentally, maybe, but I was like, Danny,
live, not
sorry,
a good...
dude. Like, I don't want to badmouth, but I was like, I didn't, that was one of the acts that I just didn't enjoy. And then there were some like super cool bands. But yeah, most of the things that they like in Europe is like thematic. Mm. Like, they want to see you in chainmail and like this weird shit. So we walked up there and we were like, you know, we're from South Africa, and just they're like looking at us and they're like, there's one colored dude in that band. They're not from Africa. These dudes don't even, these dudes are all speaking English. Like, what is this? And we're like, dude, straight up, like, Pretoria, Johannesburg. Like, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. But yeah, and then I think the coolest part about that whole experience was playing to a crowd that had never heard of us.
Mm.
So it's like you get a very authentic reaction. And it took like one or two songs for them to warm up to like, what are these like, what are these dudes doing?
Yeah.
And then next thing it was like, cool. There was a mosh pit. Yeah. Dudes were like in crowd surfing, like doing their thing. And you're like, okay, cool. Maybe we were meant to play some music. Like, so that was amazing, dude.
Yeah, because that was one of our questions as well. It's like that feeling of going to a place knowing damn well that they've probably never heard you. And like, we've got like a free, what's the word, like open introduction kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm something beautiful.
Clean, dude, completely.
So stressful, but also probably very beautiful.
Dude, definitely stressful because you're like, it's another battle. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm just so tired.
These people don't know us. We look like normal dudes that you'd see in the mall. And now we're about to play some heavy shit. Yeah,
comparatively an indie band.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a fucking Viking. Yeah. I'm the last guy in a Viking. I'm fuck's sakes.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, it was definitely precious and one to like to hold on to, and I don't think it will ever leave us. Like, we were on such a steam train after that, man. Such a steam train.
Obviously jumping from the success from back and just like that sheer moment, and then 2020 hits, big pandemic. What was that like to like have like all those aspirations and like things that you wanted to do, and then big halt?
Yeah, that kind of ruined us, man. Like, I know it affected everyone negatively. And like, I know how people preached as to like how negatively it affected like the music world, but it ruined us like completely. I think it actually broke us apart as like individuals, not just musicians.
Yeah.
Because what had happened is like, not only did we get to play that fest, but like, obviously when I spoke about getting in contact with the guys that we knew that had brought other bands over, like just before we went over, we got to do a little bit of a tour with like a band like Ginger, and Ginger's huge, man, massive Ukrainian band. And making all those connections, and then we got approached by a label, and then label was like, cool, do you guys want to sign on? Took us a few months. We're like, yeah, sweet. Eventually we were like, yeah, we're gonna take this. Let's when else are we gonna get another offer? Let's see what comes with this. And as soon as we got back and accepted the offer that they proposed, they told us that we had an opportunity to go and play a festival called Summer Breeze, which takes place in Belgium. And Summer Breeze was, the lineup on there was ridiculous, man. It was like Architects, While She Sleeps, like all these major bands that like are big influences of us and just bands that we idolize, really. And as soon as, I think it was March, it was actually the last Ramfest that took place for a while. We had played with a band called Black Dahlia Murder, and we were like, oh, dude, like everything's just working out. Like, it's sick. And as soon as it kicked in, man, like we were just like, we felt crippled, like completely crippled. Because we were told, like, no one knows if the festival's still going to take place. Yeah. We don't know if you're going to go anymore. And the problem with getting onto this label was like, you need to churn things out like yearly. So if you're not giving them an album, which is what we were busy with, like we had already had all this new stuff that we prepared for the Wacken battle, and it was just like, cool, add to that. Like, we just need like six more songs. That would have made like payday, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, like the easy and, finish, basically.
Yeah, and next opportunity, and like that could start your whole routine of touring more. Like you could be going over for a month instead of going over for 2 weeks kind of thing, where it changes things. And like I said, we're an old school band. We aren't part of this technological age where it's like, we all know programs. I know shit about programs. Like, I don't know anything about plugins. Like, I know what they are. Don't know how to use them. Like, I can record vocals and be like, cool, do what you have to do.
Recorded this on my phone. And
that is it, dude. And there were only about three other dudes in the band that really knew how to run the programs. And because we were apart and we work with being in close proximity and having that synergy like develop, like when you're in the room. And we couldn't get that, so it was like, okay, cool. We haven't finished writing anything. Mm. We have nothing to send them, and we don't know when COVID's ending. So it was like, what do we do? Yeah. And you know, like when you have a release, like we got gym, we've got going to a festival, you got drinks with your mates, like whatever you have as a release, performing live was one of ours. That was our major release. Like getting to do that because that's what you really give a shit about. Mm-hmm. Obviously gone.
So
dominoes, things just started crumbling, and like we hate talking about it, but we have to acknowledge it because it's like it feels like an excuse, but we also know what we went through, and it's just like, yeah dude, that ruined us. It shouldn't have, but it did. Did we learn from it? Yes. Learn more shit about programs. I didn't do the homework, but the boys did. I do some
tell
other
me
stuff,
where to sing and I'll do it.
Exactly. So yeah, as a whole, as it like ruined a lot of our, like everyone's lives, that was a major point for us where it was just like, shit, like, do we carry on? What do we do? And we all knew we were going to carry on because we love it too much. But
just like the drama. And
dude,
like,
it was
just, you're going to keep doing it. And it's like, of course.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and again, like I said, when like you write stuff and you archive, that's what we ended up doing. Like we wrote so much stuff and it was like, dude, there's some gold in here, but like, what are we going to take? What are we going to archive? So we're still sitting in that that whole process now. Like we got stuff sitting with a producer coming back and forth. So there is like new stuff that's coming, but it's taking longer.
Mm.
But yeah, that was pretty much that.
At least
COVID sucked.
Yeah.
And then you obviously released the EP right after everything kind of relaxed and made all the music videos as well.
Well, I mean, the EP was cool because there were like four new songs in there, and then there were reduxes. So Redux is cool because it was like, the reason we did the Reduxes was like, we had to put something out quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever we're sending stuff to in Germany can be like, oh cool, this is what they sound like. Because we couldn't do it with Brian's voice at the time because it was just like, it's two different people.
Yeah.
And we sound like, not drastically, but we sound fairly different.
Yeah.
So yeah, it felt like a unfulfilled EP, if I can put it that way.
Yeah,
it was cool. It hit where it had to. But we still needed more. And like, we still feel like we always need more.
I can say.
Yeah.
Always striving for it.
Yeah.
But like, musically like that, do you feel like now after like being after COVID and getting to almost reconnect with the people, do you think that was also a part that was, I don't know, I don't want to say missing, but like, that fan interaction, I imagine, is very important for the, okay, the song banged, now let's get back in the fucking studio, fucking start recording some vocals, drop some shit on that, yeah.
Definitely, dude. Mm. Especially the like the two or three new ones that we did put on there. Oh, actually, we haven't even recorded the ones I'm talking about. We've only, what we ended up doing is because we couldn't get into a studio, we just decided, like, I looked at the boys, I was like, dude, I know it's not out there, but I think we need to play this stuff because like we can't be playing the same set we did when we went over. You got to refresh things a little bit. So we started looping a couple things in, and definitely just as what you said, to see that expression out of people where it's like, even if they haven't heard it, sure, it's different because you're like, I don't know when the headbang to the song, I've never heard it before. But it hit hard enough where people are like, oh my God, when are you going to release this? And you're like, yeah, no, we need to get cooking quick. That was cool. And yeah, since then, we've been cooking.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
How does it actually work, like, when you guys are playing your sets? Because obviously, I'm assuming you've got your set track list. And it's like, do you ever have to, like the crowd's kind of vibing with, like, these things, let's move it around a bit? Or is it, like...
Never in set.
Okay.
It's always been, like, you suss it out as you're watching everyone else playing. You're like... cool, what should we do here?
And you've got like a pen of paper, like,
it was easier before we got our new drummer, because at that point, like, all of us knew at least 20 tracks that we could play from. So it would be like, who felt like a song would hit a little bit harder, okay, let's interchange that here. But it's tough when you think that you've got this list of 10 bangers and you're like, I don't really want to change anything. And someone else is like, we should play this. And you're like, I don't think you want to play
it. So like, this is kind of gold,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like, but you go through those motions. So we've never actually just changed it into... Actually, I freaking lied to you. James has done this to me once or twice. He has done this because like, he'd be like, he would say before the show, like, we need to play this one song. I'm like, dude, I know it's the most simple song, but I keep forgetting the words. Like, let's not play it.
That's and why they don't want to change
and
it.
And they always, yeah, it is, like, straight up. But it also, it's like a slower, like, just more groovy song. So it gives people room to bounce, but it never gets chaotic in that song. And he's done it once or twice where it's like, we have, like, these interludes that we put between tracks just so there isn't dead silence.
Yeah.
And now then he's kind of just been like, okay, sweet. Like, I'm just going to start playing away. Like, and then the rest of the boys are like, okay, he's playing it, so we need to play it. And then they start playing it, and I'm like, I just look at James. And he knows, because he'll just laugh at me, bro. He just gives me this face. And he's just chuckling. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. But let's go. And then you got to get into it. So, yeah. Other than that, no. Sets are always like what we want them to be just before we get on.
That's nice, because it's like you can definitely curate the sound properly and like know exactly how it wants to be.
Yeah. Like, sure, I mean, sure, we put songs in certain places because you don't want too much chaos and then kill people before the end of the set, because then they're just tired. They're not going to move.
Yeah.
So it's like you try and flow with it a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a sick, I don't know, just like the, I don't know how to put it, but again, it's like one of those things where you have to, you even though you know the scene and like everybody is like, I imagine, like, familiar with one another and all of that. It's like, you're still kind of like, there are new people, there are new ears. And also, I still have to impress those fuckers from last time who had a great time. And now I have to outdo that. But, like, if you had to say there was one thing in the scene that, like, I don't know, that you think not needs to change, but would better the scene. Like, going over to Germany, seeing how everything's done over there, coming back, like, dealing with internationals and all of that. What do you think is, like, missing from our scene that'll give it that?
You're opening such a big can of worms, bro. Because I talk about this yearly, bro. But something that I think, and maybe you guys can relate in, like, look, I'm not just in the middle pool. Like, I love electronic music. Like, I'm there a lot. But I'm not in the back end, so I don't get to see what's happening there. But something I grew up seeing in this scene was a lot of community. And that's why I loved it, because it was like, dude, it's a bunch of people that all are outcasts. And it's like, what better thing to do than put a bunch of outcasts in a room? And you got a bunch of sick people all of a sudden. Like, they are the coolest people in the room in that moment, like, for themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's always been a major thing that we've tried to breed. Like, it used to be there. It is still kind of there. But there's always, like, been, like, a little bit of a, like, a weird divide. Mm. But again, I don't know if that's... if that's the same in the electronic scene. Like, are there different guys in the drum and bass to the house, to the techno? Like, clash? Do they thrive together? Like, how does that work?
Mm.
But just from a personal experience, it's always just been that whole community aspect. And one of the major differentiators I've seen from, like, the European crowds to, like, our crowds, and I don't just mean our crowds in metal, I mean in our crowds as South African viewers of music,
mm-hmm.
is, dude, when we were in Germany for those 2 weeks, we went to shows where it's like, we knew we were playing, like, we walked into a venue 3 hours before we were even playing, and we were like the opening band. Dude, there was a queue of people around the block.
Oh shit.
Around the block, dude. And they weren't there to watch us, they were there to watch the headliner, but they pitched up because they were there to watch every other band. And this happened at multiple venues that we had seen. So people go there to watch music because they want to watch music. It's not about, like, oh, my homie's on at 10. I'll be there at 9. Because then you've got all the dudes that are, like, starting the show from 6, 7, 8, whatever. Dude, that could be the next up and coming. And you just missed that because you wanted to pre-drink a little harder at home. Or, like, or just because they're not cool enough, you don't know them.
No.
So I think that culture's bad. People don't just go and watch music for music anymore. It's like, I know it, so I'm going to go see it. Which I completely understand. Like, dude, I'm no saint. I do that sometimes too, where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to that venue and see that. But sometimes I also just go to a bar and I'm like, who's playing? Watch. And maybe find something like your next favorite. Basically. Right? So, yeah, I think a little bit of that's missing. Maybe it's, I don't know how to pinpoint it, man. I want to say it's community. I want to say it's interest. Like, there's so many factors. But at the end of it, I still think that it's a group of, like, really cool people. And I always want to invite people that have never seen it to come and see it, because it's like, yeah, I know what you think it is.
Yeah.
I know the rumors. Like, I know the rumors.
There are bands like that, like, granted, but there's also like 700 subgenres of metal. Just come and see something. Like, and I've witnessed it by my own friends, and sure, they were my friends, and sure, they wanted to show support. But, like, when I'm bringing dudes that are like just love electronic music. And they come up to me and I have to see videos of them in like the mosh pit. And they're like, dude, this is the sickest thing I've ever done. Like people were pushing people and picking people up. And I'm like, dude, that's that, man. And they were like, that's so sick. I'm coming to the next one. And you're like, okay, cool. That guy got to experience something. And that's what he got to remember from it. So I'm like, that's good enough for me. Yeah. If it helped one person be like, yeah, it's not that bad. That's cool.
That's a big thing as well. I mean, first we... very much newbies into drum and bass at the start of the year, and then also last time we went very much new into mill. And both times it's like you just go there and you're like, how have I missed this? Like, how have we not been going to these things more often? Because drum and bass, it was, we got there and we're like, this is the most beautiful genre ever, and we want to like go to everyone. And then also at the metal show, we're literally like, how is it the same as drum and bass? Like, how is it the exact same feeling that we got, where it's like, I just sit there and watch everyone, like, we got involved in a not a mosh pit. Wall of death. I was so scared.
You guys went dangerous though. Yeah, wall of death is a big deal.
We were with Rainer and he grabbed me and then we were running and then he was basically falling. So I was like falling like this and then I was like, I'm gonna die. But the whole time I was like, this is so much fun. And it's, need to try it.
Definitely. At least once. Bro.
But
it's like, you want to tell them to go to the ride show for the first time. Like you don't want to go to the cliche show. Yeah. Like I'm not shunning anything. That's just like, it's backed. It's you don't get into, I don't know, all the subgenres of like.
So you don't get into drum and bass listening to Jump Up.
You're not going to get into dubstep, not getting into drum bass. That's, if I can use that as old school. Fair. But yeah, it's like you need to start gentle. And like see, like climatize in a sense. And then it's like, then you find your level and you're like, yeah, that's me. That's cool.
What's your go-to if you had to recommend someone? Like if someone was like, I want to get into metal, I want to come to shows, where would you take them?
Oh gosh, damn. I want, like where am I, like venue? Or?
Venue, genre.
I guess there's really, we only have like three venues. Yeah, that's it.
Where do you stay, Pretoria?
yeah, close enough. Band-wise, damn. That's a good question. I would probably start like more on the rock and roll side. Like if you've seen bands like, there's no screams, but it's like Rough Magic and Acid Magnus. And like, these are a little bit more chilled. It's a little bit harder now because there's like a very big gap in all the genres. So it's like, you'll have like very death metal. Then you'll have the rock and rollers, or I don't know what all to call their genres. And then you've got like metalcore that's bridging on deathcore in a sense, and then you've got like punk. Actually, start with punk shows because the thing is, at a punk show you'll get the same energy. So punk and hardcore, that's, hardcore is a little bit up there, but punk for sure, you'll get that same mosh pit energy, but it's like, it's easy listening music. Like if you've ever heard of an artist called Kenny Hoopla, Kenny Hoopla is insane. Sick dude, that's punk. And that's like, we've got some kids from like Soweto and stuff that are doing that kind of feel, if not a little bit more grungy. That's a cool place to start.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's what I can say.
Didn't even put a big name in there because we need to support the kids.
Damn. Yeah. I'm trying to think, is that the, what's the band called? That
one, 21 Soweto? Children.
I'm not sure if I have the mic. My one friend, Red, she's the Beach Boys.
Richard.
Yeah.
When I told him I was coming, he's like, dude, that's awesome. It's awesome. Dude, Beach Boys, awesome. That's like a hardcore band. Also very easy listening to. Like if you can see one of their shows, without a doubt. But odds are you might catch them on the same set as a 21 Children set.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's you'll double. That's beautiful.
Dude, Beach Boys is one of my all-time favorite bands in this country. All time.
He's a sweetheart, man.
Do you guys remember a band called Weed Dealer?
No.
Similar vibe, but also was sick. Sick.
That's so beautiful.
That's what we're going to go. Yeah, we're gonna start from the bottom. We're gonna do our journey as well.
Yeah, we went too good. Yeah, too quick. I said, you want to see Facing the Gallows and Sunk instead? How fucking yeah!
Dude, you can't go wrong. Like, we are fun. Like, Gallows has been known just to be like this party band. Like, I don't think we sound too intense. Like, there's moments where you're like, what the fuck is that?
I have videos on my phone that sound very intense. I thought your vein was gonna pop out your neck. I'll be honest.
My big shock was I still can't hear the words. Like when you're like doing the scream, and then people were like next to me singing. I was like, you're lying, you definitely don't know this.
Dude, it took me ages as well. Like when I was first getting into metal, I was like, half the time I was just like, I listened to it because I just liked the sound of it. And then I was like, probably got to learn some words at some point.
Yeah.
And then there were some guys where it's like, you start figuring it out. And then there's still to this day, some dudes where I'm like, nah, I need to go Google that, bro. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying.
Genius. What does he say? Yeah. What did he mean by this?
Yeah,
as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a heavy metal cover band, but you don't know a lot of them, what the screams are. It's like three words in one scream. You're like, fuck. Don't know if I can hit all of those. Well, guys, we've gotten to a very missed part of the episodes.
No way, bring it back.
The ones that nobody ever wanted back, but we're Vibes Podcast, so we'll never fucking drop it. It's your Vibe Checks. David, tell the people what a Vibe Check is.
I haven't had to do this in like 4 months, so please bear with me. A Vibe Check is essentially where we give our guest, Regan, a question that's good vibes, bad vibes, mid vibes, worst vibes, best vibes. You get to pick anything. You can elaborate or you can just keep it one word. But it's always fun if you elaborate. Just say.
Okay. I don't know why it gives them the option, I'll be honest.
Slam the Vibe Check lips.
Yeah, so, first Vibe Check is Vibe Check on Hate City.
As in Johannesburg?
Yeah.
So I'm from 012. I think 012 is better, but like people are going to hate me for saying that because my whole band's 011, dude. Well, sure, I got Dominic now, so there's two of us in 012.
Oh, shit.
So what's up? What's
there you
up?
Go, dividing it.
No. I think Joburg's cool. It's got an interesting culture. Like, it's vastly different to what Pretoria is like. Well, that's what I think. I've always found Pretoria like a lot more chilled. It's laid back. I work in Johannesburg, so getting to see the two like every week, I'm like, Johannesburg's very like up paced.
Oh, you hustle there,
dude.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
for business.
Like, it's each one's got its pros and cons. Yeah, but I won't shun Joburg. I think Joburg.
Which one do you think is the better metal scene?
I would say that because I spent majority of metal in Johannesburg, it's been sick here. But I will be honest and tell you that Pretoria crowds are insane.
I think it's
and like a couple dudes can vouch for that. Like there's something, there's more brandy in the water there than this side. So they loose there, bro.
Do you think it's as well, it's like with it being like a student town as well, predominantly, it's like you're more likely to catch newcomers and like for them to bring their friends to things? Or is it just overall scene-wise?
I think it's overall scene-wise because the scene that we see are like the people that have been there for a while. Unfortunately, and that's what we're lacking in, and that's kind of why I'd love the doors to feel like they are so much more open to people. It's like the new kids are not necessarily going there.
No.
We also don't have venues close enough to where all the students stay anymore. So it's they're not just coming out. It's they also get picky to what they want to see.
If you could ever talk about that. People being picky about drawers. Whole hour podcast.
Again, metal just looks intimidating. And it sucks that it is that way. I completely get it though, but yeah, it's been fairly hard to get the newcomers in.
I think also what happens is if you go to a few ones, and it's more so not like your newcomers, but like just in between, a lot of them get very like, I went to that draw, didn't have a lot of fun, so I'm going to save my money and wait until I go to this one. And then it's like we've seen that a lot in like drum and bass, because it's like there's a lot of events that come through, but they're often not packed because people are like, I don't know it, so I'm not going to spend money there. I'd rather go to the one I trust.
More reserved.
Yeah. But again, lack of venues, I think that contributes. It's like you think of like Love Sonage, but if you're bringing, I don't know how you guys say it, Sognagi, Sonage, okay.
There's the French coming through. The Sonage.
But it's like, if you're bringing like smaller DJs in there, it's super tough to pack that place out. So sure, it's going to feel empty. So if you think it's not a jewel just because of that, yeah, I get it. But it's like, maybe you need to just look at a different location. But again, tough to do that unless you're just going to do your own pop-up show. That's basically it.
I like it.
It's so difficult, man, because I feel like it's like the whole time my brain's churning, and it's just like, yeah, but then how do you fix that? Like, how do you fix the way that people's brains are wired? And I feel like now, because of like not having as much, how do I put it, like before you would go Jawl and you would indiscriminately, like before COVID and like when money and cash flow were like vibes, it was like you would just go to something because you thought it was like, yeah, whatever, it's something to do. But now it's like people are more reserved because they're like, maybe it's finances, maybe it's, I feel like it's mostly that though.
So do you think that they are more reserved after COVID?
So there was a point.
Yeah, I think people got very loose towards the bottom.
Very loose. Yeah, like 2022, I think, was like one of our loosest years as a country.
I reckon.
And then fucking beautiful time.
You're just excited to get out. You're
but like, the problem was some of us stayed loose, right? And it was some of us stayed so loose. And me and David were just loose. Oh, sorry. Some of us stayed loose and then saw the drop off.
Yeah.
So it was like we're still moving the way that we moved last year in 2023, but now it doesn't feel the same. It's not the same people. It's not new people every single time. Like it's like you can. I always used to make jokes like we get perfect attendance for Groove. Because like you look around and it's like a class of like 30 people that are always there and you always go to. But it's like now there's less new people all the time. Like it still happens, but it's less.
Can I throw you a curveball?
There's it.
Do you not think that we, in music as a whole, get too many regurgitated lineups?
Oh boy, if we could have a conversation
like,
about that.
I completely understand like why it happens, but again, going back to like putting, if an organizer's putting smaller DJs in a place like Sonaj, again, not, I love Sonaj, know the boys, if it wasn't for Francois, what's up, dog?
We would never have the guts to
Francois. Like, if it's not being organized to cater to more and more artists, and like, sure, that you aren't always going to have great artists, but like give the ones that are at the bottom a chance, like to do something. Not like, you get what I'm saying. Like,
you
still need to have a professional persona as an artist, regardless of what you're playing. But we need to diversify the lineups a lot more. Like, so you referred to a vibe check, which is cool. We have vibe checks in all music. Like it's like where you play something that someone knows and then you curveball them with something that they don't fucking we do that, play hip hop on stage and then metal and it's like shit, vibe check. Or like play some Cher. It's like, do you believe whatever? But what the fuck was my point now? Oh, so I think like bringing in newer artists and definitely diversifying the lineups. But then in saying that as well, we need to like cross-pollinate more of the genres, because that's how we get all the different communities understanding the different communities, and that's also how you build different fan or bigger fan bases.
Yeah.
So we're doing something weird now at a festival called Millie Pop. I don't know if you guys have ever been. Like, I've gone for several years and it's sick. Like, I love it. So to play there is like completely different, but we're what you would call a taste breaker.
Yeah.
So it's like you're gonna be listening to, but yeah, you got the rave cave. There's gonna be a lot of house and electronic music in there, and then you're gonna have a lot of like indie and like ska and like Fuzzy Gish and them on stage, and then like next thing metal band. It's like there's gonna be people there that are gonna dig that, and there's gonna be people there that are gonna hate it.
but
some of the people that are gonna dig it probably never knew who the fuck we were. Yeah. And same thing, dude. It's like metal shows, cool. Bring someone soft there and like let that happen. Like, that's just what I believe. It's like bring new guys in instead of, I'm sorry, but I'm tired of seeing like Jeremy Loops and Desmond Tutus and stuff.
Because
like
they've had a chokehold on the Indian industry for how many years?
Again, you understand it because it's like, sure, those organizers have to make dosh and that's what those dudes are doing too. But man, get creative. Like, we're lacking here.
You can afford to like throw in like a curveball there. Like it's like you have like a break between your headliners where you put someone that you think is like fucking sick and will show the people something, like a taste breaker. Like, I feel like that's such a sick concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. And but it's also gonna, it has to be angled back at the artist as well. Like, act professional.
Yeah.
Be good, though. Yeah. Like, you need both consideration or both to consider. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, curveball.
No, for me, it's, I was even thinking it's as well, it should also be a thing of like, you, as an artist who's been getting booked and like having that struggle, you also need to then push yourself to keep giving people what they've, what like new things. Cause I feel like the artists that have the chokehold, they've just been doing the same thing for how many years. And I think that's the stagnation that comes there, because it's like,
but if the same thing works, why change it? It's even a corporate
evolve, change.
I understand art. Yeah. But I feel like there's always that thing in the back of people's mind where it's like, yeah, but if I change and people don't like it, then what if I fuck up and then I mess the bag up? You know what I mean? But now I'm staying consistent and I keep, like, you throw the same party every week, week in and week out.
We know.
Then you still get the same result every week and every week out. So you wouldn't have, in your mind, would be like, there's actually no reason to change the damn thing.
The problem is capitalism.
Capitalism. I'm against it. Fully.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, shit.
I think it's like, I want to use a tire analogy, but I don't know how to use this correctly.
I'm so excited.
But if you're going to be driving on the same set of tires for the rest of your life, eventually it's going to pop, right?
Yeah.
It's going to wear out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
But if you're going to add some new tires, you get to drive on a different road, maybe somewhere that you haven't been. Maybe throw some fucking off-road tires on there and change your flavor a little bit.
Yeah.
Hit the dirt roads, bro. Because see what's out there. Like, you don't know what's
so
out there.
So many dirt roads out there.
You either going to hit or miss. Like, you might still hit a dirt road and, like, have BF Goodrich fucking tires on there and still land a puncture. But, like, whatever. You went to go figure it out. Didn't work. Cool. Going to go back to my slick Pirellis or some shit.
Yeah.
Hit the tar again. Like, we, dude, as artists, like, you got to... I still... And I've listened to so many podcasts, funny enough, in the last year... And one of the themes that continually came up was like, if you're writing music to please other people, like you're gonna fuck out, dude.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, as long as you're writing for yourself, cool, sure, cliche, but like write for yourself, it's probably gonna hit
mm-hmm.
like somewhere.
Yeah.
Like maybe it is you changing an entire genre. Like we've seen this with some massive bands or individuals overseas where it's like they change their flavor and you're like, it hits somewhere. Yeah. Someone still hits the Billboard Top 100.
Yeah.
Like. It's okay. So I'm with you. I'm also not with you. Like when it comes to like, I get it. If you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it wears out.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, yeah.
Facing the Gallows, is there anything that's coming through quite soon that you want to talk about?
I guess there's only a couple of shows that we're going to be doing. But they're still like in process. I think, biggest thing really for us right now is that we're most stoked to have if you guys were at Ramfest, you saw that we got the new kid behind the pots and pans.
We're so excited.
Dominic's a gem. People freaking out that he's only, well, he just turned 17 at the end of last year. Good kid's a prodigy. Definitely so much value to add to us, and he's definitely one of the boys. Like his humor is on par. He was born and bred to be part of us. He's family through and through. So just excited to see where we go with him next. And yeah, we're looking at booking tours overseas. So hopefully we got some announcements we get to make maybe later in the year. But either it happens this year or it happens next year. But yeah, other than that, there might be some cool collabs. That's something.
Yeah.
I'm working on a drum and bass / metal collab as well with a big name in the industry. So we'll see when we announce that.
Okay.
Yeah. I always forget to ask, but it's like I still understand that connection between drum and bass and metal. It makes so much sense, but I don't know how to explain it to someone.
Have you ever watched a guy named Sullivan King?
No.
He's a DJ overseas.
No.
Okay, when you get the chance, go take a look at that guy's sets. Insane.
Oh, okay. I'm so excited. And
that's big things.
Man. Recently just started listening to the Pendulum as well.
Oh, tweet.
Because Shock One came to Joburg, and then he was in a band with two guys that started Pendulum.
Mm.
And then I was just listening. I was like, this is the most confused I've ever heard in my life. But it's amazing.
That's beautiful, man. Regan, thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks for having me.
Catching shit with
beautiful
us,
beautiful vibes.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely beautiful episode. I feel like we could fucking continue for the world's amount of time.
Agreed.
But Davey, take us out of here. The helicopter's landing, even though Crystal, he'll get it. He'll fucking.
Chris says you'll do 2 hours. Let's go.
We need it.
I think the best is you guys didn't want to be like addressed. It's like we're just relaxing. Don't address. It's like cover it on. You can follow Regan on Instagram at ReganFTG.
Straight up.
Facing the Gallows. That's the Instagram name. We'll have all the links there. For Regan, for Dill. For Lebs. I've been Dave, and you've been watching Vibes Podcast of Real Global Productions. Thank you so much, guys. It's been an honor. See you guys next week.
Sure. And as always,
keep vibing.
Hey.
Ooh. Amazing.
Happiness.